This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Happy Saturday morning to you, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. Welcome to the latest installment of the CNC Radio Factory here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm sure you're asking, what did the CNC stand for? One of the C's stands for Chad Dukes.
That's right.
That's Chad Dukes calling in from Oakton Falls, his compound in Northern Virginia.
Yes.
How are you, Chad?
I love doing shows with you. I actually don't mind the weekend show every once in a while, but the 9 to 12 shift is not good for me. I mean, 12 to 3 is so superior. I saw it on the schedule, and I was like, oh, CK is just reminding me that he's the boss.
That's what this is. The other C stands for cakes. I am in one of the states that Chad kind of tolerates, from the great state of Maryland.
Sure. It's a necessary evil.
We will take you up until noon today. We will be your, I am stealing a phrase from a radio guy that I know and love dearly. We will be your radio Sherpas up until noon today. So thank you for tuning in wherever you may be this Saturday morn.
It's a, you're not going to believe this, Cakes, but it's muggy and it's rainy outside.
Yes.
Can you believe it?
It's really stunning to me that there's humidity and it's gloomy and it's gross. And my backyard, because there's a big swale in it, is swampy and just brimming with mosquitoes, which is great.
What is the word you just said?
A swale? I guess it's like my – just
– Is that a word?
In layman's terms, my backyard is not even. There's like
swale.
A swale. Yes, I believe that's a real word.
I mean, I'm looking it up right now.
Not sure if I'm using it correctly. I think it's another name for like a hill or just like an uneven surface. I could be very wrong, though. I've been wrong before.
I learn things from you, Cakes. I'm generally, my vocabulary is not expanded when we do this show, but I mean, maybe you're educating me. All right, a swale is a shady part or a sunken, I was just vomited, or a sunken marshy place, in particular in U.S. usage, a shallow channel with a gentle sloping side.
Yeah, I think that kind of works because
anytime
it rains a lot, all of the water comes from Oscar Santana's backyard, and it flows through our other neighbor's backyard and then into my backyard, and then my drain can't handle it, and there's just water everywhere.
We caught Oscar since you brought him up. So this past, so Drab was on vacation. Of course, you're executive producer of the Junkies.
Yes.
And he also produces Big O and Duke, so he was gone. And Oscar and I had to do the shows with just him and I, which we haven't done in a while. And they went really well, and we got towards the back half of the second show. And Oscar had a full-blown stroke on the air. We were talking about, have you seen that lineup, Cakes, of Heinz's new products where they have, like, mayo mixed with ketchup and ranch?
I have. I've
mayo.
Walked by the I believe it's entitled Mayo Chup.
Yeah, it's so hideous.
Sneer at it whenever I see it in the grocery store.
They have one called Mayo Must. Like, if somebody in your marketing department names something Mayo Must, you got to Redskins this thing and fire everybody and flip the whole thing over.
Wholeheartedly agree with you.
So I'm speaking with Oscar. I'm like, hey, you know, why do you think we need mayo in everything now? Like, my parents didn't put mayo on burgers. Like, this is something new.
Yeah.
And Oscar says something to the effect of, well, I mix barbecue sauce and mayo all the time whenever I go out. And then after that, but I mix the barbecue sauce and the ketchup. And then, of course, the mayo and the ketchup. And he, like, went on for 5 minutes and said nothing. And I said, dude, are you okay? And he's like, oh, I just got a little turned around. Well, unbeknownst to us, he went behind all of our backs and went to Jim Jester, of course, who has been fired from 106.7 The Fan, deservedly so, and said, can you please edit that out? I sound foolish.
Right.
And I'm like, look, you can edit out something you think you might get cancel cultured for, but sounding like an idiot is the reason why people are tuning in.
Yeah, I mean, do you know how many times I've sounded like an idiot on the 106.7 The Fan airwaves over 20-plus years? I mean, I wouldn't have a career if I didn't sound like an idiot for most of the time. So, yeah, you can't edit that out. You got to wear it. You got to own it.
I've been traipsing through afternoon drive sounding like a boob and a rube for, I mean, like 11 years now.
3 weeks ago, I went on the air, I think it was a Wednesday, and I said, quote, Dan Snyder will never change the name of the Redskins. And you know what happened the very next day? He said they're changing the name. The next day, Chad.
Fade cakes. That's what I always
fade do. Cakes and all. You may want to fade me, but yeah. Coming up later in the CNC Radio Factory, Chad, yeah. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell Sean, the producer, and I'm going to tell the tens of people that are listening how to make just boatloads of money today.
Oh,
I'm going to let you in on a secret. How you're going to get the easy street. I'm going to tell, I have the secret.
Is it gambling or the stock market?
Oh, it's gambling. Oh, well, okay. You could posit that both of those things are gambling. But yes, this is sports gambling related.
All right. Well, I can't wait. I know Dave Richards coming on, right? Is he going to be on the program today?
He is, yes. He will be on at 11:30, and yeah. He will tell you who to draft and who not to draft in your upcoming fantasy football drafts. Because, Chad, it is August by looking at my calendar. Yes, the calendar has turned to August, my
it's
friend.
Crazy. It's absolutely nuts. This is big. The only person that probably rocks as much as Cakes and I, because we're the sports talk radio hosts that really rock, Kenny Kidd from Cleveland will be coming on at 11 o'clock.
Very good.
I'm so excited. And I guess, Cakes, you're going to use this as an opportunity to politic for a gig. At least that's what it sounded like yesterday.
Well, I think if we have Kenny on, I think it's our due diligence to basically ask him if we can try to program maybe an hour of his all request Saturday night in Cleveland. I think now, we should try to do that.
Are we ghost programming it, or is it like a full fledged takeover?
Oh, we were just ghost pro. I mean, okay. Do you want to do more work on a Saturday, Chad, for free?
No.
I don't think so. So I think the best way to approach this is maybe have a list of five or six tunes that you like, and we just go back and forth machine gun style on Kenny Kidd and just give him a bunch of suggestions to play later tonight.
Yeah, the best type of work on a Saturday, Cakes, is work for free. And that's what we're doing right now.
It certainly is. Yes, we're
free
again,
work.
I did like the T-shirts that you printed out for you and the Fire King, EB.
Oh, we should have done one for today.
With the free FM. It's the real free FM.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody remembers the free FM movement, the real one that happened, I don't know, was that 15 years ago?
Yeah. But
we're resuscitating free FM here on the DC airwaves.
It's unfortunately, there's no play on words there. It's just free FM radio. That's
right.
I mean, I think Sean, you're getting paid, right? Are you getting a stipend for this, correct?
Correct.
All right, thanks.
Well, we'd have to hope that Sean is getting paid. I mean, he is trudging into the studios in downtown D.C., so he's doing the Lord's work.
Well, he's paying for parking, so he ain't getting paid that much. I'll tell
you guess that's true. That's a very good one. But Chad, maybe D.C. is just they're nice, and they let you park for free on the weekends.
Oh, sure. Just some relief in these financial purgatory.
Yeah, I'm sure that they're gonna let their biggest cash cow take the weekend off.
Traffic tickets and parking fees, that's what the entire city's built on. I would shutter the whole thing. And the thing about Sean, I felt bad for him because yesterday, unbeknownst to him, I guess it was just pop quiz time for metal bands because you started firing off gifts of Judas Priest and asking him to tell you who they were. And I was like,
well,
I don't know. This is Sean's wheelhouse.
I did give him the lower hanging fruit at first,
right,
which he picked right off of the vine because I at first put out a GIF. I don't know if you go with your GIF or GIF,
and it GIF. Tilts me whenever you say it. Tilts me that you bought into that culture. Oh, it drives me
all
nuts.
Right, so I don't want to drive you nuts.
Thank you.
On a Saturday morning, we're working for free, so I will go with GIF. I put out a GIF of Motley Crue on my Twitter. That's at Money Metal Cakes, by the way, in case you don't know. And he hit that one right out of the park. So then I upped the toughness factor with the second, which was Judas Priest.
Yeah.
And he responded, and I thought it was a decent guess. He responded with, "Is that the Police?" because there were three guys in
Is
the
that
camp.
Rush?
It was Rob Halford and two of the guitarists. And I said, no, that's a good guess, but that's Judas Priest. So Sean is going to get exposed, I think, to a lot of music he probably hasn't been exposed to a lot in the past today.
Yeah,
which
well,
is good.
It's easy with Motley Crue because it's like, here's four chicks. Like, here's four women. And then you're like, oh, it's either four women singing in a band or it's Motley Crue.
See, Chad, here's the thing. Okay. As an armchair Motley Crue historian.
Sure.
Let me just take you through this. The really early Motley Crue, like I'm talking like Shout at the Devil and before that, they were, okay, they had girlish tendencies with their dress, but they were more like, they wanted to look like a cross between like a motorcycle gang and like, I don't know, like a Victoria's Secret
model
store exploded all over them. That was their look for the first two albums. Then with Theater of Pain, where they just broke through mainstream, okay,
right,
with the Home Sweet Home, which was the most requested video on MTV for like a year and a half straight. That's when Motley Crue really girled it up and went with the softer, more girly look. They went away from the leather and more into, but borderline like male lingerie, I want to say.
I'm looking at a picture of Vince Neil right here, and he could get it. I mean, that's just the level of girliness that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
This is an attractive, you know.
That's around 1986-ish Motley Crue, and then they butched it up again with Girls, Girls, Girls. On the album cover was them on motorcycles, sleeveless leather vests. You know, they changed their look. They're chameleons, Chad. That's all they are.
Well, it's also you gotta try to get women interested in your music. Like if you want to sell at those where you're climbing up the charts like that, it can't just be, you know, headbanger dudes. They can only take you so far. So.
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about Metallica changing their sound as well, and everybody just getting so mad about that. And I'm like, well, you can continue playing for the same 80,000 headbanging metalheads for the rest of your life, or you know, you're hosting New Year's Rockin' Eve or whatever the hell else.
Or
it
you
is
can become the biggest band on the planet.
Yeah, so
you know that's what you can do.
Choice between those two. Hey, what did you think? I haven't spoken to you since they changed the name of the team. I would imagine you don't like the numbers on the helmet, just knowing you. But I the picture of Landon Collins this past week, I thought it looked pretty sharp.
I actually do like the numbers on the helmet because that's just different. It's something that, you know, no team in the NFL has done. It's a college look. And if you're looking to differentiate from, you know, the old Redskins logo, they've really done it by putting the number on the side instead of whatever the Washington football team logo. It's okay. It's not great. It's fine. It's a fine placeholder until they come up with the real name. But I will say that some of the merch, like screenshots that I've seen so far, are terrible.
Yeah,
but again, it's a weird placeholder type of name. So are you going to come up with great merch for that for, you know, a year or 2 year run with Washington football team as the name? You're probably not.
I said it looked like, you know how you can go into Walmart and you can get like a Redskins shirt for like $7? Like that's what the stuff looks like.
Exactly.
And it's on short notice. I get it.
And Chad, though, I know exactly what you're talking about because when you go and look at it, you're like, yeah, it looks a little bit cheap. And then you look at the label and the label inside, the tag, just says it's just the NFL shield. That's all there is. And you're like, I know it's official gear, but it just looks... It looks chintzy. You know, it doesn't look legit.
It doesn't. And I it's the first salvo. I'm trying not to be Cakes, I was so negative on it. I think we've talked about this. All the names are just, each one of them to me is worse than the next. And I'm just embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by them. And this wasn't, it's kind of lame, but it's not embarrassing for me at least.
Right.
And I think the numbers on the side of the helmet, I think it's actually a genius move because a blank helmet is terrible. The Penn State helmets, I don't like any of them. The Browns, maybe Notre Dame's all right just because of the gold. But to put the numbers on there and look completely different than the rest of the NFL, to me that's a big win. And keeping the colors and the jerseys, and you don't have to really revolutionize everything. Now, it doesn't touch what I know is going to be a big topic on the show today, and I want to spend some time on this, so I don't know if you want to start now, but the Seattle Kraken, we teased this yesterday when you came on my show, that's the greatest name in the history of sports. So if you're going by the Kraken as a 10,
yeah,
I would say numbers on the side of the Redskins helmet maybe is a 4.
Yes.
But it's better than a 1, which is what Sentinels or Red Wolves would have been.
Well, Sentinels is a terrible name. It's a great song title by sure. Judas Priest, and maybe Sean can dig that up and play it a bit later.
But also, we're the adversaries of the X-Men, if I'm going yeah. down a different road.
Yes, that is correct. Chad, I did some research on team names. I did research for the free show on Saturday.
You're not going to do a potato on the side of the helmet joke, are you, Kate?
No, no. I mean, Chad, that's for the nation of hacks. Do you think I would crank out such tripe?
Did you see that they actually tweeted out, "We want to hear your name suggestions" on the official Washington football team Twitter yesterday?
Oh, good Lord. God save us.
Why do you want to bring this upon you?
All right, so I went back and looked at expansion team names.
All right.
In the major pro sports since 1995. I didn't want to do too much work, so I limited it to 1995.
It's already way too much work.
95. This is a pretty good name. Vancouver Grizzlies in the NBA.
Yeah, I like that. I remember the logo being terrible, and that was back. Yeah. Remember the 90s? Everything had to be like that teal aqua color.
Yes, teal was their base. They said, we have to be teal. We're Canadian. Our flag is red and white with a big maple leaf in it. But we're going to make the Vancouver Grizzlies a teal base, and then we're going to have, like, some sort of weird, like, tribal, piping around the sleeves, and they're going to be all the colors. But the name was great, and I thought the logo was pretty good.
I mean, what happened to just naming, your team after a beast that could gnaw your face off? Like, I mean, that's the direction you want to go in.
Since they moved to Memphis, I mean, last time I checked, I'm not a Bear expert.
Right.
I'm not a Grantsville Jones expert, but I don't think there are Grizzlies.
You're not a Mike Glennon expert.
I don't think there are Grizzlies living in Memphis, but the name is so good that you can't get rid of it. Grizzlies is a great name, and it's not every other team has it. That's a very good expansion team name. This one you may have issue with, Chad.
Okay.
Because you hate this area.
Sure.
But Baltimore Ravens is a pretty good name.
Yeah, it's spot on. The only thing I don't like about the Ravens' whole deal is the purple. Right. Purple camo, it's a terrible color. I don't really like it for the Vikings either, to be honest with you. But Raven, first of all, Raven is a cool name.
Yeah.
Lots of cool musical references with Raven.
Mm-hmm.
The Edgar Allan Poe shtick vibes. So, see, here's the thing that I've found, Cakes, is people go down one or two roads. Is they pay too much attention to, we need something locally that makes sense, or they don't pay any attention to it at all. And I think you got to kind of walk the line somewhere in the middle. So Raven, you know, as much as I don't care for the city of Baltimore, and I think I've been proven right over the years, it's actually spot-on marketing, and those morons have just lapped all of that up ever since that team's been there.
All right, one more in the NFL. Houston Texans. They came into the league in 2002. It's a decent name, kind of boring.
I mean, like the logo.
The logo's good.
Yeah, like the Texas flag with the longhorn on the side. It's not bad. Cakes, what was it about? So I would throw the San Jose Sharks. So the Panthers, the Jaguars, the Sharks, the Grizzlies, all of those teams, you know, within about 10 years of each other, I assume. It's the aqua and the teal.
Yeah,
it's
that's weird. True.
What was so big about that? I lived through the 90s. I was an adult for most of the 90s, I would think. I graduated in 97. What was it about that color that was so important that every team
I don't know. I just think that it's, you know, all those leagues are copycats. It's just like in the era where every team had to throw black into their uniform. Like every team had to have black as part of their color scheme, which I don't hate. But, you know, you saw that for probably a decade or two-decade run where every other team that was rebranding or would revamp their uniforms or their logo, it would be black and, like, maybe like chrome or silver thrown in. So I just think it's, you know, that's what teams do. They see what other teams do, and they tend to imitate them. So some other quick ones.
So bad.
Jumping over to the NHL, in 98, the Nashville Predators came in. I like the Sabretooth.
Yeah.
The yellow is a little weird, but you know what? If you're not going to, you know, copy everybody and do teal or, you know, the flavor of the week, I don't hate it. You know, like, and it jumps out at you too. If you watch them play, if they're wearing the yellow jerseys with the yellow helmets, it's a lot of yellow to consume.
I actually like it. I've been in Asheville. I've been in that building. Mm-hmm. The color scheme is cool. Like that whole downtown little area there. I think, is it 6th Avenue? I forget the name of this. It's where all the honky-tonks are. And at the end of it is the hockey building. On the other side of the river is the football stadium. It works. Here's what I can't figure out, Cakes. You're named the Predators.
Right.
How do you not get the licensing fee and go all the way and have the big, scary, dreadlocked alien? I mean, that would be the coolest thing ever.
That would be. I never thought of that crossover until you just mentioned it, but that would be pretty cool.
Everything goes dark before they come out, and those little three red lights get shot all over the stadium. Do you know how great that would be?
Oh, that would be amazing.
It's way better than some big, you know, buck-toothed puma. Or whatever that's supposed to be, and that I'm looking at the logo.
Chad, here is a terrible name, terrible colors. Just wrap it all up in a ball and shoot it straight into the sun.
Right.
1999, the Atlanta Thrashers.
Oh, yes.
Just terrible.
People hate the Atlanta Thrashers.
Yes.
Nobody more than the people of Atlanta, apparently.
Right.
My God. What is it? A thrasher is a bird, right?
Yes, it is a bird. And on the logo, it was the bird with its feathers blowing behind him, and he's holding a hockey stick. I mean, there's just a lot of weirdness going on with the Atlanta Thrashers. Getting into the 2000s, Columbus Blue Jackets and Minnesota Wild came into the league. I don't like either of those.
Those both stink.
Those both are terrible.
Terrible.
And in 2017, the Vegas Golden Knights. I wasn't crazy about Golden Knights at first, but it's grown on me. And, I mean, who hates when they do medieval time shtick before every hockey game? That's great. It's great theater.
It's another thing that we were talking yesterday about how Eric Bickle pretends he doesn't know what a Kraken is.
Yes.
I knew the second I watched that Golden Knights opening, I was like, this is awesome.
Right.
And I tuned in the Junkies the next day. I was like, well, I don't even need to listen because I just know Eric is going to hate this so much.
He is going to hate it with a passion. You know, I'm glad you brought up EB.
Yeah.
Because when we come back, we're going to talk about his vacation plans, because I consider you, Big Shooter, Chad Dukes, an Outer Banks expert. And he's headed into basically the eye of a hurricane for his vacation.
Oh, yeah. We talked yesterday. I had to counsel him because he's going down there to get asked to evacuate in a couple of hours.
So excited for that. We'll talk about that next. We will pick the brain of Chad Dukes, who knows everything about the Outer Banks. It's the CNC Radio Factory here on 106.7 The Fan.
That's Cakes, of course. I'm Chad Dukes. It's the CNC Radio Factory. We will take you until noon. Sean, I know this is going to sound unprofessional, but who's coming on at 10? Brock Lesnar actually booked us a guest at 10. You know who it is?
It is Jordan DeJohnny.
Oh, okay. He came on with us before. He's an NFL guy. Yeah, he's good. He's good on the air. All right, so he'll come on. We'll talk some NFL then. Kenny Kidd is coming on at 11 o'clock from Cleveland. We'll talk about Rock. And then fantasy Cakes is Dave Richards coming on at 11:30. We'll do a little fantasy football.
By the way, Chad, I hope that you have your list of songs to pepper Kenny Kidd with. I have at least 5 written down in front of me. I'm going to come up with probably 8 to 10.
All right. Now, is your goal just to bully him into playing an hour's worth of our music? Like get him to, because it's tonight. I mean, all across Saturday night is tonight.
He probably has already programmed every single song that's going on.
Well, I mean, if you see his layout, like, it's unbelievable.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and so I don't know how much of it is his call and how much of it is the listeners making the request. I'll say this, for those of you that haven't listened, All Requests Saturday Night happens on WNCX in Cleveland every Saturday night, and the radio.com app is how I found it. And I've made like a religion out of it. Every Saturday, like, we all gather around and listen to all 5 hours of the show around the bonfire. But the amount of people, okay, because they call into his radio show and just say, hey, I want to hear Motley Crue, you pick one. Or I want to hear Alice Cooper, you pick one.
Right.
And I'm like, well, this is great. You get to program your own show, play all the music you want to, because Dullards won't pick a song.
How hard is it to pick one song, by the way, Chad? Like, you have one job. Just pick a song. Commit to one song that you really like and call in and ask Kenny, and he'll play it.
I do like that music callers are just as dumb as sports talk radio callers, because they just call in and they get the shaky voice and they get all nervous. It makes me very happy. All right, so you were rooting for EB to die in the hurricane before he went to break.
This is untrue. You're putting words in my mouth.
Sounded like that.
I am just pointing out the fact that he is heading down to the Outer Banks. I'm not sure which beach he is staying at, but he's doing a family vacation. And as he's doing that, as he's driving south, there's a hurricane barreling north up the eastern seaboard. At least it's projected to make that sort of path. And his vacation could become a disaster.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, like, look, you look at your vacation weeks. Those are precious. You don't want to burn them. You don't want them to be interrupted by weather. You don't want them interrupted by, like, a family emergency. You just want to have a good time. You want, you know, to be able to go enjoy, you know, the Outer Banks or wherever you choose to go, and you don't want a disruption. And last time I checked, a hurricane is a major disruption to your vacation plans.
It's a bummer. I just saw a tweet 3 minutes ago from EB that he had passed the toll plaza, which means he's about an hour from the banks. He's not, I wouldn't say that he's completely screwed up the timing, but getting down there at any point after 9 o'clock to cross that bridge,
okay,
you are at least dancing with the devil in the pale moonlight, where you could be jammed up for about 2 hours.
Jam
that bridge. Oh, jam!
Wow. See, I am not an Outer Banks guy, so I don't know all of the nooks and crannies of the commute. I'm a Kiowa Island guy, but I've heard horror stories about that bridge and the backup.
Here's what's going to happen, because that dumb is staying in Kerala, which is to the left. So when you go over the bridge, Cakes, you have two choices. You go right or you go left.
All right.
Left is you get Southern Shores and then Duck and then Kerala.
EB doesn't like going left. He's more of a righty.
I've heard that. I saw some of the tweets. So I'm surprised. He is going to be on that road for conservatively 3.5 hours after he gets there. Because it's a two-lane road, and you're going up to all the expensive houses, and everyone's just all jacked up because there's these, like, stoplights and duck once you hit them, and they're very slow. He's screwed for today. Like, his whole day is going to be getting to the house. I don't know why he didn't leave last night. But as far as the tropical storm, my buddy Sam Walker, who runs the radio cluster down there, and he does OBX today, apparently he's been through so many evacuations that he's, like, talking EB through what the process could be like. Because, you know, it's not left up to you. Like, the rental company comes to you and says, all right, everybody out, you know, because they don't want to suffer all the insurance issues that could happen if you're hunkering down and it's just some land-dwelling boob and rube and you don't think that the tropical storm or the hurricane's a big deal.
Yeah. Now my question about his timing, and you are the you're basically the mayor of the Outer Banks. So
they
you
call me
know.
The mayor.
Yes.
Yeah.
If he's there now and he's going to, you know, be on, you know, at his property, say it's 11 or 11:30. Like, what time is the check-in on your Saturday? Because I'm used to doing, like, you can't be in your house until 4 p.m. On the arrival day. Like, is his timing way off? Does he have an earlier check-in? How does that all work in the Outer Banks?
Here's what the skilled yes. purveyors do. And
yes.
This is what I do every year, is I go down. So if I'm checking in today, right, first of all, you check for early check-in, because a lot of places offer that if you want to pay an extra couple $100, which I always do. 4 o'clock is usually the check-in. That's usually also crap. You can get there if they've already cleaned it out and sneak in the back. Nobody ever locks all the doors.
Okay.
Every single year. Cakes, you go down, you get a hotel room, and you go down the night before, and you stay in the hotel room. You get up, you check out, you have a nice breakfast, you get all checked in, maybe you hit a couple of shops. Then your house is all ready for you. You already are up in the neck of the woods where the house is, and you're not like the mewing cattle. Unfortunately, Mr. Bickle is.
Yes.
Where it's just going to be traffic and anger and anticipation all day long today. It's just a horrible way to start off. I wish you would have come to me sooner. I could have given him good counsel.
Well, you also have to budget some time for, isn't there a gigantic walk-in beer cooler at the Harris Teeter, like
look
somewhere on the island? See, I know these things by listening to Chad Dukes versus the World.
I appreciate that.
I know these things, Chad.
Yeah, the biggest, I mean, this is how good my life is, Cakes. The biggest problem I've ever had in my life is that the Harris Teeter started closing at midnight down in the Outer Banks. And so, like, I'll be rolling in at 2 a.m., and what I would normally do is walk right into that walk-in beer cooler at the Harris Teeter right across the bridge and load up, and now I gotta go to like Walmart or something because they don't open anymore. But yeah, I love Harris Teeter. It's my favorite grocery store up here too. We don't have any of these giant walk-in beer coolers. They got them at both of those joints down there, and you go in there all sunburned, just hang out for 2 or 3 hours until they ask you to leave. It's tremendous.
See, that's one thing that does really stink about the state of Maryland where I live, is that only one grocery store, like in your county, can have a license to sell like beer and wine. And
why is that?
That's, I don't understand it. And then I go to Virginia, and I will give praise to Virginia. Every grocery store, every friggin' gas station, every convenience store, they have nothing but beer stored from floor to ceiling as far as the eye can see. And it enrages me when I see that.
Would you say it tilts you?
I would say it puts me on mega monkey stilts. Yes, it does all of the above.
But look, here's what's happening. Everyone's leaving Maryland and moving to Virginia, and then you're ruining everything when you guys come down here. So we'll be Maryland in 10 years. But here's what I would say, Cakes. Neither one of us are living the good life. Out in Phoenix, if you go to the grocery store, hell, if you go to Target, you can buy a bottle of wine, a bottle of Jack Daniels, and a case of beer.
Really?
At the same Target.
That is eye-opening. That is, I mean, you have to go to the state store or the county-run liquor store to buy your Jack or your brown liquor of choice.
Why is the government in the business of selling us liquor? Like, why are they in the liquor business at all?
I don't know. They must be making just fistfuls of cash.
Well,
I don't understand.
I got, like, my buddy Brian, who owns Oakton Wine Shop, he's like, I should be able to deliver, you know, to anyone that has a 21-year-old ID. I'm like, yeah, you're right. And it's the ABCs involved in everything, and they're all pains in the asses. And I'm like, let's cut all that red tape now that the pandemic's here. Let's make it easier to get sloshed. That's what's the most important part of this whole thing.
Brian is a good fella. I haven't seen him in many, many moons. I may have to stop by his shop at some time in the near future.
You know, it's a bistro now.
Oh, it is. I did not know that.
Dude, he made me a cheesesteak. It was incredible.
Look at that. I'm in Fairfax proper, I may have to swing out there.
You know, it is the Oakton Wine Shop, Cakes. I'm the ogre of Oakton.
You are the ogre of Oakton. That is correct.
I did want to you don't play any video games at all anymore, right?
Very little. I dabble on my phone. I get my ass beat on the regular in Words with Friends on my phone, and that's about it. But that's not really considered a video game.
Now, I don't play Words with Friends. Is there a component that costs money in that game?
I'm sure there is, because every stupid app tries to upsell you, but I've never poured a dollar into like one of those game apps.
The word, I believe, that is used on your show is squeaker to decide what you are.
Yes, that is correct.
I've got this mobile phone game that I'm playing. It's called Marvel Strike Force.
I've seen you tweet about it, yes.
And I'm fiscally responsible, okay, because I truly am.
Yes.
How much money do you think I've spent on this game?
Ooh, how long have you been playing?
I'd say probably 4 or 5 months since the pandemic started.
All right, so about half a year. How many hours roughly per day are you putting into, is it Marvel Strike Force?
Marvel Strike Force. I'd say 2 or 3.
2 or 3 hours a day, 5 months. You are a fiscally responsible person.
You're a business owner. Free. You can play this game for free, technically.
Okay.
Keep that in mind.
You can play for free, but there are so many tantalizing add-ons, I would guess, like costumes and power-ups. And
unlocking characters. That's all I'm interested in, yes.
I'm going to say that Mr. Fookerton, in 5+ months, has spent, I'm going to put you at $1,500.
Oh, my God.
Is that way too high?
You really don't think a lot of me, Cakes. I thought I was gonna blow your skirt up because I've spent $300 on the game.
Oh, okay.
It's incredibly weight. I mean, it's just $300 lit on fire and blown out the front door. Cakes, you really think I would waste that much money on an iPhone game?
I mean, that's 5 months, Chad. That doesn't seem like a ton of money.
Right, but you don't even get anything. Here's my problem. I don't mind buying stuff.
Yeah.
Like, my dad always did this bit where he didn't want to buy ice. He always hated buying ice. And I'm like, old man, if you're buying ice, you're usually doing something cool, right? Like, you're going to a cookout or the pool or...
Ice, to me, is just a sunken... Like, if you're going to go, like, hang out with people or do whatever and bring beverages, they have to be ice cold.
Yes.
They have to be. And that's... I mean, if you bring warm anything to any sort of gathering, you should be excommunicated and banned from gathering with people for the rest of your life.
I mean, it should be standard you bring a bag of ice, basically, to every get-together you have.
And you look like a real squeaker if you use, like, your own ice.
Oh.
Like, you've got to get bagged ice. You got to smash it against the ground because it's always clumped together, okay, for proper ice distribution. And you slam it in there with your drinks. and you come in looking like a hero. You can't bring your homemade ice cubes and dump it, and every drink is 60 degrees. That is unacceptable.
Here's where I lose faith in humanity is when I watch a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
When I watch him, A, just open the bag of ice without smashing it into the ground two or three times, so you have
Rookie.
Those big icebergs.
Yes.
But also cakes. Have you seen the morons that put the ice in first and then they put the drinks on top of the ice?
You're all like, wrong. Completely
what
wrong.
What are you doing?
Chad, we need to host an ice 101 course in college. Just give the kids the basics so that when they're 35 or 40, they don't come to the cookout looking like boobs and rubes.
Have you ever iced down your cooler cakes?
I have not. I don't know this concept. Enlighten me.
I'm gonna put you on to something, and it's gonna change your life.
Okay.
Because coolers like the Yeti coolers, everyone's got like the Grizzly coolers.
Yeah.
Pelican.
Everybody has to spend $400 on a cooler. Meanwhile, I have a $25 Coleman that generally works.
No, that's depressing to me. But you do is you fill like a 2-liter bottle or a couple of them filled with water. You put them in your freezer.
Okay.
And then before the night before you're going to use your cooler, you put those things into the cooler so they ice down the inside of the cooler. So Ooh. Once your ice goes in, it's already ice cold, so you have less melt. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So that's icing down the cooler. Now,
this is really next level, like cooler talk. This is like Mensa cooler talk here on 106.7 The Fan. But you know what? It's good for people, especially in this area where, yes. as we touched on earlier, all it is 91 degrees with 89% humidity, and everything melts. The ice never stays cold. So if you can cool down your cooler, like the pre-cooler treatment, I think it's solid.
Yeah, I completely agree. And here's another bugaboo that I have if we're doing the cooler bit. Like, if you go down to the beach and you don't bring a cooler with you, you should be turned right around. And,
yes.
and I say that as somebody that I will. Here's what I'll do, Kings. I will rent a beach house. I will pay for everything.
Yep.
I'll get a tent. I'll get the boards for the bags and the
You'll get hole. Beach masters to take
get
care
beach
of
masters, big OBX. Shooter. Those are yes. my guys.
They are your
them.
Guys, yes.
And then these idiots will come down and be like, well, I got a case of beer. I'm like, well, where's your cooler? Well, I don't have one.
What? Yes. You know what they should be? Banned from walking on the sand.
Yes!
Banned from the beach. You are banned! I mean, if you bring if you're going to go spend any amount of time, and look, I'm not one of these guys who goes to the beach for 8 or 10 hours. I can't do it for that long.
Well, you wear swim shoes. I don't even want to talk about this
okay,
with you. I don't want to get too angry with you.
First of all, they are not swim shoes. Here's what they are, Chad.
I've seen them.
They are super light running shoes, but they're made by Saucony. You can look this up. They are super light running shoes that can masquerade as water shoes.
It's so embarrassing.
And look, Chad, we've been in the ocean many, many times. Do you know how many critters are just right down there by your feet?
Oh, yes.
How many horseshoe crabs do you see washed up?
I've stepped on
the shores.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Okay, well, when Flakes steps on one, I don't have a big gash in the bottom of my foot.
Did you hear that Danny?
My foot is nice and protected.
Did you hear that Danny swims in a shirt at the ocean? Danny Ruye?
Yes.
Do you swim in a shirt in the ocean?
I have done it before. Not always.
This is an abomination.
not because I'm ashamed of my doughy body.
Why don't you just wear a suit of armor in the ocean?
I don't want to get sunburned all the time.
Oh,
I don't want to get
God.
Covered.
They have products. They have products for that, Orville.
I know they have products, but I always miss spots. There's always spots to get missed. Now, I'm not saying every time I go into the surf that there's a shirt, but it has happened.
I got two Puritans going in there.
And there's Chad, always a hat and usually sunglasses.
Goody Orville and Goody Ruye is who I'm dealing with going into the ocean.
Yes.
I, one last thing about the coolers. I will bring a cooler to a funeral. Like, there is never any place I've ever been where I'm like, damn, I really wish I hadn't brought this cooler filled with ice cold beer.
Chad, do you understand what a hero I looked like when I went to, you're going to laugh. I went to the final Warp Tour in Atlantic City, 2-day event. Okay. Our pal Blue Shorts met up with us, for part of the event on the ocean. But once the festivities were done, once Blink 182 was done playing the show the second
That's the
night,
worst day ever.
Okay, it's an amazing day. Hanging out with my kids, listening to Blink, a day to remember, Good Charlotte. Oh, it was amazing. Anyway, once we get back to the vehicle, I had a cooler that had been sitting in the back all day with copious amounts of ice and Gatorades for everybody. Everybody's thirst was quenched because I had the forethought of bringing a cooler and loading it up with delicious electrolyte replacing beverages.
It's just another reason, though. The forethought is there, and of course, yes, you respect the cooler, which is important.
Sure.
I can't imagine sitting through that music with no booze. And the fact that you said it was a cooler full of Gatorade, I'm like, oh my God, he did it sober. He hung out with blue shorts watching pop punk sober outside.
Now, I had a few beers, but again, I had to just, you have to remember where I was. I was in Atlantic City, and I had to drive my kids home from Atlantic City post show.
Because I'm a hotel room.
I got a hotel room the first night. It was a two-day event, Chad.
This is hell on earth. All right, we have to. Sean told us to break 10 minutes ago. All right,
yes, he did. So when we come back, I'm going to tell everybody, all the listeners, and you, Chad, how you're going to make just oodles and oodles of money.
I can't wait.
Today. Because I have the foolproof plan, and I'll tell you about it next here on The Fan. Welcome back to CNC Radio Factory this Saturday morning on 106.7 The Fan. I told you I had a foolproof plan for you to make money, and here it is. Chad.
Yes.
I want you, I want Sean, I want everybody listening to do what I say. Bet every NBA over on the board. That is my advice to everybody within earshot. Yesterday there were six games during the NBA bubble play on a Friday. Those six games. The over was 6-0, Chad.
Wow.
I mean, Orlando and Brooklyn, their total was 210. They scored 246 points. Memphis-Portland, the over was 225. Do you know how many points they combined for, Chad, in an overtime tilt?
How many?
275. So that went 50 points over the total. Phoenix and Washington, I told everybody that both of those teams, they hate playing defense. They just are allergic to playing defense. The total was 224, sailed over that, 237 points. And the Milwaukee-Boston total, for whatever reason, was 221. They went over that by 10. I mean, every game just smashed the over. And I don't know how much of the Wiz game you watched. You know, the Wiz were scrappy. They hung in there, but they're just, you know, they're missing Beal, they're missing Wall, they're missing Bertans. You know, they just have so many pieces that are gone. They're so young. They were hanging in there with Phoenix, but Phoenix was just better. And there was a stretch during the second quarter, Chad, where this play was just especially sloppy on the Wiz side.
Yeah.
And I think it was Rui might have missed, like, a guy cutting on the baseline for, like, an easy layup. And Scott Brooks just called a timeout and stormed out onto the court. And you could just sense the frustration boiling over in him by watching, you know, what was going on. But look, they're a young team. I think they had seven guys on that roster that are 23 years old or younger. I mean, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get uneven performances. But the bigger takeaway is none of the teams in the bubble are playing any defense. It's just up and down, nonstop offense. You cash in by playing the overs before they adjust. Hit those overs this weekend. That is my advice to everybody.
They're definitely going to adjust, though.
They will.
Because I remember just betting the overs on Wizards games for the first quarter of the season anyway, just because of what you're talking about. Do you know the Suns got to the free throw line 32 times?
Yes. Every time I turned around, Devin Booker is shooting free throws. Šarić is shooting free throws. Everybody shooting free throws on the Wiz.
They could not. If they attempted to play defense, they fouled. I mean that's the only thing that took place.
DeAndre Ayton, okay? So he was the number one pick a few years ago.
Sure.
He's a fine player. He looked like Wilt Chamberlain. I know it's an old reference. He looked like Wilt in his prime yesterday against the Wiz.
How about he went for 24 and 12 and 11 of 14 shooting?
Right.
That's probably why.
The Wiz defense is so bad, they even allowed him to hit his first career three-pointer. That's how bad they are.
That is unbelievable. And by the way, Troy Hachimura and Troy Brown, they were god-awful in that game. I mean, look, the whole thing that we thought, if you cared at all, and I don't think most people don't, okay, because I kind of went into a whole thing about why, you know, I've been a Wizards Bullets fan my whole life, but like I made a decision to not talk about them on my show.
Right.
Just because I look at the crowds and I look at the ratings. But the one thing you look at and say, yeah, you got these young kids. They're going to be in an environment where it's going to help them. There was no growth last night.
No.
There's nothing I looked at last night and said, this is positive for people.
If you could take
forward.
one takeaway yesterday that was positive,
sure.
Jerome Robinson off the bench poured in 20. You know, that's a guy that they got, you know, from the Clippers, and maybe he develops as like a depth piece behind Bradley Beal. But the only reason he's getting run is because Bradley Beal is sitting at home and isn't playing. And look, it's fun to watch the Wiz. I don't, you know, JP has this weird, like, hey, if they go on a run, they could be that last team in the playoffs. I don't think that when I watch them. And it was only reinforced further by what I saw yesterday in their debut against Phoenix.
Well, I mean, you could call that a G League roster by what we saw. But what I would say is the Brooklyn Nets are your next opponent. That's your best shot at getting a win right there. And they're going to be underdogs, but at least they're playing a team that was ravaged by COVID.
Yes.
You've got to go out there and you've got to figure out a way to win one of these games so it's not just a bloodletting for the entirety of this process.
Yes.
By the way, someone needs to tell Zion Williamson, I understand you're a big, muscly guy. We got to get 20 pounds off of you or it's never going to work. How is he going to be the face of the league if they're within striking distance and he's on the bench for the last, you know, period? I understand. Everybody I talk to, he's got 4% body fat. It's not fat. The clothes fit him weird. I understand. Some weight needs to come off of him so he can stay out on the basketball court for longer. Drives me nuts, Cax.
I don't have a problem with that. I think especially the younger guys, they don't take nutrition quite as seriously when they first break into the league. I think he's going to have that light bulb moment at some point. I think it'll happen. It's just not going to happen this season. But here's what should happen. Chad, what? You should be bring the Miami Denver over. That's 211.
All right.
The Utah Oklahoma City over. That's 216. By the way, the games start at 1 p.m. today, so you don't have a ton of time to get in your picks. You got a bonanza. I believe there's 5 games on your NBA slate today.
Man, I have an app. I'm going to bet. I'm going to bet on my app on all the stuff you just said.
Bet liberally.
Yeah, and they'll be able to buy. And I'm also going to buy stock in swim shirts and in lightweight running shoes because apparently that's the wave of the future for all the beach
goers as
well. Yeah, because
you spend so much money on Marvel Strike Force, thousands and thousands of dollars, so this way you can kind of offset that spending.
I'm excited. I got a lot more capital that I can go there and just frivolously blow through because I didn't hit Cakes' mark of what he thought I was capable of.
Yeah, you can get like Spider-Man's 8th alternate outfit, whatever color that might be. It's probably like a neon.
I'm very excited. Coming up, Cyrus Jaguni, I think, is coming on the program. I forgot the gentleman's name, but he's very good at talking about football. Kenny Kidd will join us at 11. We have a Dave Richard and I. We have a good lineup of guests. It's almost like we prepared. It's the CNC Radio Factory.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.